When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Rocco Sports Mission. This is podcast 6 of 2023. Today is Friday, July 7th. It's about 5 p.m. Eastern Time. I am your host, Eric Rocco. Welcome back, everyone. Boy, do I have a great podcast for y'all today. I know I say that every week, but I'm exceptionally excited about this week's podcast. I truly believe I have uncovered a juggernaut in the NFL going way under the radar. I did promise everyone that I would find a team in the NFC to upset the Eagles, and I believe I have found that team. So that's how we'll start the podcast. Then we will transition over into our MLB talk. We'll recap our wonderful Astros series from last weekend, and then I will give you guys a new series to target for this upcoming weekend that starts tonight. And as always, we will end it with Reflect with Rocco with a segment on bankroll management. Yes, tune in to Reflect with Rocco. I know it's not what everyone wants to hear, bankroll management, but it is to me the most important part of gambling. Don't forget to give me a follow on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at TrustRocco. That's at TrustRocco. My Twitter account, like I always say, provides great content, free picks daily, articles weekly. We have a lot of fun on there. So give me a follow on Twitter. Hit the follow button. Also, subscribe to all the Oddsbreakers podcasts. I do want to give a call out to one of the listeners of the show, Young Stanley, for two mistakes I made last week. He is an avid listener of the show. He really enjoys it. And he said, hey, you did two things wrong. Well, for one, I did state Jared Goff won a Super Bowl with the Rams. Incorrect. He made it to a Super Bowl. He did not win the Super Bowl. Still a pretty big deal just to get to a Super Bowl. I know a lot of quarterbacks would just love to make it. But I did say he won it. I was incorrect. That man has never won a Super Bowl before. So Young Stanley was correct about that one. And a certain word I had used last week was slack. I said this player received a lot of slack. That is incorrect for any of you guys wondering out there. The word is flack. So just wanted to point out those two mistakes I made and correct them. Jared Goff did not win a Super Bowl. And guys, the word is flack, not slack. Don't be a moron like me. Please don't talk like that. So moving forward on to my juggernaut NFC squad. I'm sure you all at this point are wondering, who in the hell am I talking about in the NFC? I promised everyone I would find a team to upset the Eagles in this 2023 season. Look, the Eagles are plus 250 to win the conference. They're the heavy favorite. They're going to be tough to beat. The good thing is, teams that lose the Super Bowl tend to be not as strong the next year. They usually regress slightly, and now they have a target on their back. So that leaves 15 remaining teams to win the NFC. And your second and third ranked teams, in my opinion, and in most people's opinion, would be the Dallas Cowboys and the San Francisco 49ers. And I'll be honest, if the 49ers had a quality starting quarterback, guys, that'd be my pick. I bet them to win the Super Bowl. I bet them to win the conference last year. Yes, that conference championship was miserable for me when they ran out of quarterbacks, something I had never seen in all the years I've watched football in my life. They ran out of quarterbacks and of all games. I'm not going to go on a tangent of that. We all know what happened. It was miserable for me. So it's not the Eagles. It's not the Cowboys. It's not the Niners. That leaves 13 remaining teams. And who could I be referring to? All right. Okay, I will stop holding out the team. This team is located in the southern part of the USA. They are in the NFC South. And I've asked a couple of my friends to try and guess the team. And of the four teams in the South, from the Bucks to the Panthers to the Falcons to the Saints, it could be any of the four, in my opinion. I know a lot of people have the Saints kind of winning that division by default. And I will start out with any Dennis Allen coach team I am no longer backing to win anything. They had no excuses in a lot of games last year. I was at multiple Saint games last year. And I was just watching Dennis Allen on the sideline making bonehead decision after bonehead decision. So it's not the Saints. It's not a Dennis Allen coach team. It certainly is not the Bucks with Byron Leftwich. If you think I'm backing Baker Mayfield to win anything except a toilet bowl game, you got another thing coming. So that leaves the Panthers and the Falcons. And as much as I think Carolina is going to be good going forward, I think this is a good team. Frank Reich is taking over. I think they have a lot of talent and a lot of potential, and they could be a good team to watch going forward. It is not them in 2023. The 2023 season belongs to the Atlanta Falcons. And please, when you hear my reasoning, when you hear my angles, when you hear why I like this team, please take your blinders off. Listen with a clear mind and listen to the reasoning, because I'm probably like most of you. When I first heard the Atlanta Falcons name starting my research this year, I was like, I don't know. I mean, yeah, they had a good run game last year, but they weren't very good. They were 7-10. The Bucs took their starters out in week 18, so they actually only won 6 games technically. How good could this team be? So like many of you, when I saw the Atlanta Falcons name this year, immediately I thought, okay. They were hot and cold last year. Yeah, they started hot. They finished pretty cold. Mariota was nothing to write home about, hence he's not on the team anymore. And they threw in that rookie from Cincinnati. I forgot his name. What was it? Desmond Ridder? He didn't look very good. I bet against Atlanta a lot of those games. I'm not going to back the Falcons this year. I dove into some moves they made in the offseason, and I didn't realize a lot of the moves they had made. Wow. I will go on record saying this right now. What did I say today was July 7th? I will go on record saying the Atlanta Falcons will have a top 3 or even a top 5 defense in the NFL in 2023. This defense has everything you're looking for. Old man defensive coordinator Dean Pease is out of the equation now. He's out of the picture. Arthur Smith went out and got his own defensive coordinator in the name of Ryan Nielsen from the New Orleans Saints. Nielsen was the co-defensive coordinator for the Saints last year. Previous to that, he specialized in the defensive line. He was the defensive line coach. This guy has paid his dues. He's moved up the ladder with each and every team he's been with for the last 15 to 20 years, and he is getting his shot to make it on his own. This is his defense. He's brought in his own guys. They have a complete overhaul defensively. You have how many guys brought in from free agency, and now you have guys year 2 and year 3 that the Atlanta Falcons and Arthur Smith drafted. And the reason I keep saying that is this is his team. He drafted this team. These are his players. This is Arthur Smith's team. And this is the year they are going to shine. I'm telling you all right now. When I say he went and got his guys, he took his linebacker from the Saints, Kaden Ellis, who had a tremendous 2022 season with New Orleans. This kid was all over the field making plays for New Orleans. With him comes Onyemata. He's the nose tackle. He was the nose tackle for New Orleans for the last couple years. Now he's with Atlanta. This guy stops the run. Atlanta was already pretty good against the run last year. Yes, they ranked around 20th in the league at 130 yards a game, but this team was not bad against the run. They were about average to good, in my opinion, in a lot of games. And I think Onyemata only makes them better. Backing Onyemata up is former Bear Eddie Goldman. And I was all over the 2018 Bears when they won the division and had a tremendous season, only to lose to the double doink in the playoffs. Eddie Goldman is a run stopper as well, so they have depth at the position now. These guys are going to rotate in and out and stop the run consistently. Grady Jarrett now has another guy that can get sacks just as well as him. Arthur Smith went out and signed defensive end Calais Campbell from the Baltimore Ravens. I'm sure that's a popular name to everybody out there. The guy's made quite a few Pro Bowls. He's a difference maker. He's a game changer. So both ends of the defensive line are now taken care of. The middle of the defensive line is taken care of. Let's go to the back end of the defense, is where Atlanta got burned a lot last year. They signed Jeff Okuda from the Detroit Lions. Your Ohio State Buckeye fans are going to say, damn, they got a steal. I know this kid has not been great in the NFL. He's actually been hurt a lot. He lost a lot of his confidence. And this, everything I'm reading, the new coaching staff has sat this kid down and said, Jeff, we need to get the Jeff that played in college to transition to the NFL. It's in him. There's a reason he was the third overall pick. This kid wasn't the fourth round pick. He wasn't a third round pick. He was the third overall pick of that draft, and he just did not pan out. So they got a steal in free agency, a cornerback. The reason I think Okuda's going to have so much success is the free safety they signed by the name of Jesse Bates from the Cincinnati Bengals. He's more or less the captain of the back end of the defense. This guy plays like a really good center field, I guess you could say. I think that meshed with Okuda and the guys that they drafted the last couple years, the back end of the defense is going to be much, much better. I mean, think about this for a second. They gave Jesse Bates a four-year, $64 million contract for a position that normally does not make that type of money. Another big name, in my opinion, they signed came from my Tennessee Titans, the other team I'm high on this year. They took their linebacker, Bud Dupree, who was the heart and soul of the middle of that defense from Tennessee the last 5 to 7 years. To me, the defensive line is solved. They brought in a coordinator who specializes in the defensive line. This team's going to stop the run. They're going to get to the quarterback. They're going to blitz the right time. They have young guys. They have veteran guys. They have veteran leadership. They have everything you want in a defense. Bates is going to bring the veteran leadership. Anyamada is going to bring the veteran leadership. Calais Campbell's going to bring that as well. Bud Dupree's going to bring that. Eddie Goldman's going to bring that. And then you have the younger guys. A.J. Terrell, a 2020 first-round pick starter. You have Grant, a 2021 second-round pick starter. Then you have the other linebacker, Anderson, who I watched a lot of tape on this past week. He was their 2022 second-round pick. This kid got better each and every week. I'm going on and on about the defense. You're probably sitting there wondering, how is this team going to score points? Well, Desmond Ridder started in 4 games to end the season last year, and I watched the tape of each and every game this past week. This kid has an arm on him. He can zing it around the field. Yes, he needs to be more accurate. He didn't seem to turn the ball over much. He didn't make a lot of bad decisions. When they blitzed, he escaped the pocket. And he's got speed. This kid can run a 4-4. He's got speed for days, and that's what you need in the National Football League now. It's not just having an arm. The Peyton Manning, Drew Brees days are done. They're over with. You have to be able to run to be successful now in the NFL. Look at Patrick Mahomes. He does both. That's what makes him the best of this generation so far. So I think Desmond Ridder has all the tools. I'm not looking for him to be the next Aaron Rodgers, the next Drew Brees. I just need this kid not to turn the ball over and just be a little better this year from year one to year two. Look what he has around him. This team led the league in running for most of the year last year. They finished third in the league in rushing. That's with a rookie running back in Tyler Allgeier. That's with old man Cordarrelle Patterson. That's with Caleb Huntley, who's now number 4 in the depth chart. Now they have a generational talent. This kid is going to change the franchise that drafted him. It just happens to be the Atlanta Falcons. Bijan Robinson is a name you're going to hear often on Sundays for the next 5 to 10 years. I only say 5 to 10 years because running backs nowadays, they don't last as long. Your Barry Sanders, Adrian Peterson types don't seem to exist anymore. But I think Bijan Robinson is the next Adrian Peterson, is the next Barry Sanders. This kid gets in open space. He's gone. He runs in between tackles. He runs north and south. He runs east and west. He catches the ball out of the backfield. I'm not going to go on and on about Bijan, but this kid is a generational talent, I think, in the making. And with him in the backfield, with Allgeier backing him up, they're going to have such a good running game. I mean, listen to the offensive line they get to run behind. The right tackle, Caleb McGarry, their 2019 first-round pick. That was the same year they drafted the right guard, Chris Lindstrom. And then their left guard, who's actually a rookie, Matthew Bergeron out of Syracuse. They drafted him in the second round. So they used one of their top two draft picks on an offensive lineman just to get the offensive line better. And then how many Pro Bowls has Jake Matthews been to since 2014? I don't know how many. I know it's a lot. Ridder, Bijan and Algier are going to be standing and running behind a brick wall of an offensive line. Ridder limits the turnovers. Robinson has the explosive plays. Algier gets on the field when he can. And then don't forget what they have. They have the ace of spades in their back pocket in Cordarrelle Patterson, who's now going to be on the field a limited amount of snaps, a limited amount of time. So you're going to get the explosive Cordarrelle when needed. If Dave Ragone, the offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith can call a good game behind that offensive line and all this talent, I think this team can score enough points. Now you're going to say, who the hell are their receivers? My listeners, go back and watch the tape on Drake London. This kid is a baller. He is a ball hawk. He catches everything. And in the four games Ridder played, him and London had this connection like peanut butter and jelly. Like, you can see they were hanging out all the time off the field. I don't know about this past offseason, but I guarantee they spent a lot of time together. He looked for London each and every play, which was actually one of Desmond Ridder's downfalls. He stared at his receivers a little too long, and I'm hoping that's something he can fix going into the season. But London is a baller. He's a ball hawk. And they did all this without Kyle Pitts the second half of the season. And I know you got a couple different opinions out there on Kyle Pitts, but I was one of the people that was high on him going into his professional career. And Mariota didn't look his way. They didn't call his number. He just was not a part of the offense before he got hurt. So now we get a healthy Kyle Pitts coming into this year. One would hope him and Ridder formed a healthy relationship in the offseason, because, man, you're going to have him in London every dropback. Robinson coming out of the backfield. They signed Mac Hollins from the Raiders, who's more of a possession receiver, a gritty get-in-your-face, talk a bunch of smack, which is what Atlanta needs, because Algier does not run his mouth. Desmond does not run his mouth. Drake does not run his mouth. So they're going to get that from Mac Hollins. And then their third receiver, to me, is the most important, because Scotty Miller is now going to stretch the field. He's going to bring the free safety with him. He's going to have the cornerback on him. He's going to get the middle of the field wide open for Drake London to do what Drake London does. And then when they double Drake London, guess who's going to be wide open? Kyle Pitts. This offense is set up for success in 2023. Special teams, Young-Wee Koo. This kid hit at 93% or better his first two seasons. I should say his first two full seasons. Last year, he slightly regressed. He kicked for about 88% last year. He did miss a few kicks over 50 yards, which this kid was money at the 2 years previously. I'm expecting a big season from Young-Wee Koo. Was special teams good, defense good, offense good, and we're getting plus 215 to win the division. I think that is the steal of this year's future bets. Take it now. It might go down, it might go up. I'm not entirely sure, but it's plus 215 right now. And then they're 28-1 to win the conference. And I think that bet is gold this year. 28-1 to upset the Eagles, the Niners, and the Cowboys. Okay. Sprinkling a little Super Bowl bet, 60-1. Why not? Because if I'm right, those are going to be some nice future tickets we're going to be holding at the end of the season. Their current over-under win total is 8.5 right now. The over is slightly juiced. Keep in mind, all these odds are on DraftKings. You can shop around and try and find some better odds. You should always be doing that anyways. I should not need to tell you that. And then you could even play around with over 10.5 wins. It's plus 245 right now. So moving forward, bet Atlanta up and down, however which way you want them. I even forgot to mention Arthur Smith for Coach of the Year, plus 1,300, 13-1. If this team goes 12-5, wins the division, let's just say as a 2 or 3 seed, I can't see them not winning the division. The Eagles are the 1, let's say the Niners are the 2, Falcons are the 3, and Cowboys are the 4. Well, that's impossible, the division winners. But in some kind of order like that, none of those head coaches are winning Coach of the Year in the NFC. Arthur Smith will be one of your front runners if the season pans out like I think it will. So bet Atlanta, take Atlanta, and let's make some money on the Falcons this year. So moving on to some baseball, I gave you guys the Houston Astros last weekend. They played a 4-game set in Texas. They won game one as plus 145 dogs by a score of 5-3. Saturday, which was my big bet, unfortunately, Hunter Brown did not show up to the stadium mentally, physically. He was there. They lost by a score of 5-2. They were really never in it. So we lost that game. Houston won game three, again, 5-3. They were plus 120. And then game four was, oh my God. If anybody was watching that game live, talk about a roller coaster heart attack type of game. They won 12-11. They blew a 10-4 lead. Texas tied it up. Texas took the lead 11-10. And then Houston regained the lead in the top of the ninth. And they held on in the bottom of the ninth by winning 12-11. Again, they were dogs. I told you guys they'd be doggies in every game of the series. So we went 3-1. Plus 2.85 units for the weekend. It was our best weekend of the season for the podcast plays. That puts us at 15-11-4, plus 5.10 units on the season for podcast plays. I hope you guys are betting these each and every week as I have been and making money on them. And you probably hear the excitement in my voice. I have a series for everyone this weekend. One series, one bet, again on the road. And I believe there'll be dogs in all three games. Sunday starter is not confirmed, but it appears to me they're going to be the underdogs in every game. I see a sweep coming, honestly. I can honestly see the Cincinnati Reds going into Milwaukee and sweeping them. Oh, I just gave you guys a series to bet on. Bet the Reds. Take the Reds this weekend. I stopped fighting it this past week. I bet them each and every day against the Nationals. I even laid 1.5 runs in a few of the games. This Reds team is for real. They have hitters up and down the lineup from spot 1 down to spot 9. The starting pitching has improved each and every day. A shining point for them has been their bullpen. Their bullpen has been pretty good since the Atlanta series. So tonight, Abbott's going to duel off with Burns. Tomorrow, it looks like it's going to be Luke Weaver versus Colin Ray. And then Sunday, unconfirmed, I'm hoping it's Brett Kennedy, who made... It wasn't a career debut. Made his first pitching appearance in the majors since 2018 and pitched a gem against Washington. Got very unlucky to give up the runs he did. That will be my big bet of the weekend. He'll be dueling against Julio Teheran, who it's not 2015 anymore. It's 2023. This is not the same Julio that you guys remember from 5, 10 years ago. He doesn't have the same type of stuff he did. So I'm hoping Brett goes. We should get a nice juicy plus money on that game with Kennedy going against the household name of Teheran. They're going to be underdogs in all three games. Abbott's going tonight. Abbott's got a 1.21 ERA. He's got 30 strikeouts in his last three games. The analytics say his expected batting average against would be .185. The key for him is to keep the walks down tonight. He does tend to lose command at times during these games. If he keeps the walks down, the Reds do not lose this game tonight. Tomorrow, Weaver's on the mound. And yeah, his ERA is bad. He has struggled for most of the parts of this season. But after Baltimore got their fourth run against him two starts back, he kind of seemed to figure it out. He retired 10 of the next 11 batters. And then his next start against the Mets, he pitched really good. He gave up one run. And then Sunday, obviously, like I said, I hope Brett Kennedy gets the start against Teheran. So take the Reds this weekend. There'll be dogs in all three games. I am looking for a sweep. 2-1, yes, I'm not going to complain. We're going to be in the black. We're going to be in the black over a unit with them being a dog in all three games. But I am looking for a sweep. 3-2-0. Take the Reds this weekend. Well, if you've made it this far, you have made it to the end, which means we will have our segment on Reflect with Rocco. I would like to cover bankroll management. It's a topic most people don't want to hear about. It's a topic everybody thinks they have down, but they know deep down they suck at it. Most of us do. If you keep getting a little better and a little better and a little better with your bankroll management, you'll start to form habits. And the more good habits you form with bankroll management, the better you're going to do long term. And two specific instances where bankroll management is very vital. To me, when you're winning, it's very easy to overbet, or as I call it, click happy. I get click happy when I'm winning, boy. All of a sudden on a Sunday, I end up with so many bets and I'm scrolling going, what? How did I make this many bets today? Why? I didn't have this many teams written down all week. Not that you should be making all your bets on Sunday morning. You should be making your bets throughout the week trying to get the best closing line value. But that's a whole other topic for another day. I tend to get click happy when I'm winning. More bets seem to come in. Do that. You're not invincible. You're not just going to keep winning every game. It's impossible. I don't care who you are. I don't care how lucky you are. Like some people I know out there, you're going to start losing. And if you start getting click happy and overbetting, your bankroll is going to deteriorate quickly. The second instance I'm referring to are cold streaks. Cold streaks are when you lose your bankroll or when you lose everything. And in some people's instances, the famous, not the famous saying, but a famous saying, that's it. I'm done betting that sport. I quit betting that sport. I ain't doing it no more. Why? Because you've been losing and you can't control yourself? That's not a good enough reason. You enjoy betting on sports. You like betting on sports. But you can't do it because you can't control yourself? I'm sorry. That's not good enough for me. I've told someone in my family this past week, have some self-control. We all need it at times. We all don't have it at times throughout life. You got to look in the mirror and go, wait a minute. It's me. Stop blaming everybody else for you not having self-control. You're the one choosing not to have self-control. So when you go on a cold streak where you're losing and you start tilt betting out of emotion and you're betting how much? You're betting 5-10 times in your normal bet. What did you just do this past week for betting 1 unit per bet, 2 units, half a unit? But all of a sudden you're going to make a 10-unit bet because you're mad because you took a bad beat? Look, I had the Diamondbacks this week. It was 1-0, top of the ninth, 2 outs, 2 strikes, nobody on. And Alvarez foul tipped the ball that just fell out of the catcher's mitt. Next pitch, he hit a home run. 5 minutes later, the Mets are up 2-1, and the game was over. They lost. I could have easily have went on tilt after that, and I didn't. I kept my composure. Yeah, I got mad in the moment. I'm only human. We're all going to get mad. I didn't tilt. I kept my composure. I stuck to my bets the next day. Ironically, I actually got a little click happy the next day on the opposite end. But I did not go on tilt. I did not make any stupid decisions. And I had self-control. You can do it. You can have self-control just like I did in that moment. But you're choosing not to have self-control. And it's okay. You can fix it anytime. You can fix your self-control anytime. So if you enjoy betting sports as much as I do, if you enjoy gambling as much as I do, and I know most of you do out there, have some self-control because you're going to be able to bet then 2 days from now, 5 days from now, a week from now. You don't got to quit. You don't got to stop betting. Have fun. Keep it fun. That's what sports betting is supposed to be. It's supposed to be fun. You take the fun out of it. You lose self-control. You go on tilt. You make stupid decisions and you lose money you shouldn't be losing. So the point of Reflect with Rocco on this podcast is having self-control and bankroll management. Don't get click happy. Don't go on tilt. And stay within yourself. That's all I can tell you guys. Stay within your means and keep it fun. So Atlanta Falcons 2023, bet them up and down. The Reds, take them this weekend. Their 3-game set in Milwaukee. And guys, have some self-control. Stay with your bankroll management. Stay within your means. This has been your host, Eric Rocco. Thank you for listening to podcast number 6. I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at TrustRocco. Head over to theoddsbreakers.com. Purchase any of my packages. I still have that great deal going on. Buy 1 month, get 1 month free. Best deal out there you can get. You get all of my premium plays. Also, head over to theoddsbreakers.com and just read the articles. There's a bunch of free stuff on there. Kiev posts, I posts, and Gator betting posts all the time on there. Free plays with golf from Gators. And Kiev is always providing tons of free content on there, as am I. Again, thank you for listening. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. Stay safe. Let's make some money. And more importantly, you know what word I'm going to say next. Breathe.